are yea and amen. And some of us, if we're not real careful, get fearful that the promises are not going to happen. So I encourage you to go all the way back to the very book of Genesis and sense that Abraham was told he would have a son. And his wife got tickled at the idea when she was told that she was going to be a part of that program. And it's amazing how many times that laughter took place against the promise of God. But somehow, if you hold fast to the faith that was once delivered to the saints, you can know without a question the devil don't have a right unless you let him steal the joy. We are here tonight because we have people that need the touch of God. And so we are agreeing together that our brothers and sisters and people that have looked to us for faith, David Young, D.D. Freeland, George McCool, Ruthie Fleming, Addie Christian, Cindy Pinson, Laurie Bolt, Charity Emery, Colby Hicks, Sadie Sinems, and Steve Gordon. If you have a need in your body tonight, I want you to raise your hand, and I want you to look around and see any brothers or sisters. And we are given a promise. Call on me in the day of trouble, and I will come. I will heal thee. That is stupendously great. And so tonight, as we stand to our feet, if you'll raise your hand, let brothers and sisters know that you've got a need in your body or your home or your life. And let's call on the Lord with all of our heart. Father, we are believing in the promises of God. Those that are on the board in front of us, those whose name we call, I don't believe you've changed your attitude or your mind. You are the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the glory, the Redeemer, the man of faith. I praise you tonight, and we come against every adversarial attack on the brothers and the sisters and the needs. We are here tonight to fight the good fight of faith. We are here to lay hold on eternal life. We are believing, God, that this night is going to prove to be a wonderful event, because our future lies in the seed of what's going to occur here tonight. And the power is going to be generated through the Spirit to cause it all to occur. So tonight, in the name of Jesus, and would you conclude your prayer by saying, in the name of Jesus. That's it. God bless you tonight. And I would like to mention Wednesday nights continue. And you can be seated. The Wednesday night events are going to continue to be very rewarding, I think. The overhead has shown already that Brother Sparks is going to be here the 9th, and then Brother Lucas on the 16th. And then 16th also is Outreach Alliance hosting Sundays after Sunday service. So don't forget that. The 18th is Ladies United Fellowship, Bratcher's Nursery at 8:30, unless the storm comes again. We was all set for that, weren't we? 23rd is Monthly Mission Pledge, and I can't thank you. And missionaries come to me and tell me how appreciative they are. And unfortunately, they don't get to tell all of us physically. But I can tell you, based on what they have said to us, how much they appreciate the United Pentecostal Church of Paris, Texas. The 25th church business meeting on Tuesday night. Try not to forget that. And that's going to be a good meeting. Prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting for pastoral transition and team and families. So please sign up if you will. That would just encourage others to take the lead in that. And so tonight, anybody got a testimony of a healing before we go any further? Anybody got a testimony of a spiritual victory in the last couple of weeks? Well, call me. We can get help. I have had several, so I just figured everybody else was having some of the same. So it's wonderful to know that he is really in touch. And I've tried to mention this in prayer, but in ministry in other circles. But before we bring the teacher to the floor, I will tell you this. That when the Bible said pray without ceasing, years ago I had no clue. Because it blew me away, because it just didn't even seem like a real decent statement. Because I have to talk to my family, I have to talk to others, and so, you know, I'm fairly busy talking to a lot of people. So pray without ceasing. It's not just going over in the corner. Listening for his voice is the critical part of that. In other words, stay tuned in to Captain of our salvation, the Savior of our life, and stay tuned in is what he's meaning. And so we can at any point call on him, and he can call on us. And then we can help others as he appoints us to do that. So what a wonderful, wonderful evening that is planned tonight. And I am appreciative of the lady that's in charge of this pulpit in the next few minutes. And so Sister Donna Meyer, my beautiful little lady, I have to tell her that every now and then. She don't require it. That's it. Make her welcome.
Well, thank you all for being here tonight. This is the third of this 6-week series, and so I hope that you're enjoying it. We always like for y'all to know where we are when we aren't here. So I thought I'd tell you that this coming weekend we're going to be in Jonesboro, Arkansas, because little Cohen is getting baptized Sunday night. And that's that sweet. And also, it's also Kaysen and Paisley and Chayden's birthdays. Can you believe that Chayden is going to be 18 years old? Don't they grow fast? Anyhow, that's where we'll be this weekend, but I know y'all are going to enjoy a nice weekend here with the Sparks. We heard a lot of nice reports about last weekend with the Welches. Well, we're talking about greatness is God's gift to you. And so this third lesson talks about greatness develops through vision. Okay? Greatness develops through vision. Ephesians 1 and 8 says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. So vision is a wonderful word. It means the state of being able to see. And humans, a perfect vision is 20/20. Perfect vision would be 20/20. I was thinking about the fact that of all the five senses, that probably, to me, the one that would be the most difficult to operate without would be your eyesight, to be without eyesight. And I'm having a hard time getting my little iPad to come up here. We had one time, when I was younger, a young girl in our church in Shreveport, we had an evangelist, Dr. Brother Masters, come, and he was blind. And Bob's mother, who always prided herself on saying the right thing all the time, she asked Brother Masters he was an excellent saxophone player. Excellent. And so she asked him if he played by music or by ear. course, if you're blind, more than likely you're going to play by ear. But he told us that that one morning he woke up and he just felt like it was time to wash his car. So he went outside and he was busy washing his car. And I don't know if the neighbors heard a disturbance or what. So the neighbors, anyhow, the police showed up. And the police said, "Man, what in the world are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm washing my car." And the policeman said, "At 4 o'clock in the morning." And Brother Master said, "Hey, look, when you're blind, it doesn't matter if it's 4 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the afternoon." So vision is a beautiful thing. Another definition of a vision is the ability to think about or plan the future with imagination or wisdom. And I have a friend, a young man, who early in his life drew a timeline on the wall of his office. And on that timeline, he marked off through the years where he wanted to be at certain times. He had a vision of what he wanted to be, had it marked off. And did you know today that young man is a very, very, very successful businessman. So vision is important. Vision is the ability to see beyond ourselves, and it's the ability to see God's plan within our lives in spite of our obstacles. And vision is God's way of allowing me and you to be part of something that is so much bigger than what we can do on our own. You know, in the natural sense, some people do have eye problems, have vision problems. Some of you may be farsighted. Some of you may be nearsighted. Some of you may have battled astigmatism in your eye. Some children are even born with lazy eye. And then as people get older, they have cataracts. So in the physical sense, these are some of the problems that can impair your vision. But did you know, in the spiritual sense also, our vision can be affected by being farsighted or being nearsighted or having astigmatism or lazy eyes or cataracts. Spiritually, our spiritual eyes can be affected by the same things that in the physical sense they are. However, embracing God's vision of your personal life gives birth to hope, fulfillment, satisfaction, and a real purpose in life. Now, sometimes people actually see visions of God's plan. We see this many times in the Bible. When Peter saw that sheet come down and it had all those unclean animals in it, and God said, "Eat," and Peter said, "No, you know, I don't eat unclean things." And God said, "Don't call things unclean." So this vision represented the fact that God was sending Peter to Cornelius's house. And Cornelius, of course, was a Gentile. And the Jews did not associate with the Gentile people. They were, in their eyes, unclean. So Peter saw this vision of exactly what he was supposed to do. And then I like this one in 2 Kings chapter 6. The servant of Elisha went out one morning and he saw all of these Assyrians compassed about the city with their horses and with their chariots. And he come running back into Elisha and he said, "What are we going to do?" And Elisha said, "Look, the one, fear not." Is that a favorite theme of the Bible? Fear not, fear not. That's a favorite theme. "Fear not, for they that be with us are greater than those that are with them." And then Elisha prayed and said, "God, open my servant's eyes so that he can see." And the Lord opened his eyes, and the young man saw that the mountain was full of horses and chariots, of fire ran about them, ready to fight this Assyrian army. So that is a beautiful vision of victory. Noah was given a vision to build an ark. David was given a vision of the temple that his son Solomon was going to build. And Jacob had a vision of a ladder that came down from heaven, and angels ascended and descended. So I believe that today God can even give our lives clear visions of what we can be and what we are to do. I remember through the years that little sister Nona Freeman, that was a missionary on the field probably 35 years, she said that she knew that she was called to be a missionary when she was 9 years old. She said she saw a vision of herself on a platform, and she was overlooking a sea, a multitude of people that were dark. And she said, I just assumed that I was being called as a missionary to Africa. 9 years old, she received that call. She held on to that vision and that call. See, a lot of times when God calls you to do something, he equips you to do it. He doesn't just call you and leave you stranded. When he calls you to do something, he will equip you to do that very thing. Sister Freeman did hold on many years to see that come to fruition. See, a lot of times I have noticed watching people and in my own life that sometimes there is a gap between the time you are called, the time you see your vision of what God wants you to do, what he wants you to be. Sometimes there is a gap between you getting it and it coming to fruition. It's because a lot of times there has to be a training period in there for what you have been called to do. There may be a training period. Like Sister Freeman, before she ended up in Africa, she was married and already had 3 children by the time that she ended up there in Africa. So I know that a lot of times a doctor friend of mine told me just not too long ago that he was called to be a doctor when he was very, very young. He said, I just knew that I was called to be a doctor. So he said, all of my life, I just knew I was going to be a doctor. Of course, the day he knew he was going to be a doctor, he didn't show up in a surgery room and said, here, I'm called to be a doctor. Let me handle this. Because, you know, a lot of times, even though you're called to do something, there is a training period. So there were many, many, many years of secular education before he fulfilled his calling of being a doctor. So do not ever get discouraged when you see a vision of exactly what you're supposed to do. You might not be fixing to go do it the next day, okay? There may be a little training period here and other things that happen in between the time you get it and the time that it comes about. Sister Tenny has often told us that she knew that God wanted her to start ladies' conferences. At the time that she felt that calling to start ladies' conferences, our organization had never held a ladies' conference. As far as I know, no organization was holding ladies' conferences. And Sister Tenny just felt like that ladies' conferences were a needed thing. She felt a burden for it. She saw a vision for it. But you know what? At that time, Tommy and Terry, her children, they were both still young. And Brother Tenney was running all over the world with the Foreign Missions Department. And so even though she had a vision for this kind of thing, it was not time. So she said that every night when she put the children to bed, that she would clean the house. And then she would get up the next morning a couple of hours before time for them to rise. And she said she would make all kinds of outlines, study all kinds of subjects, and make all kinds of real detailed outlines about everything imaginable that would be pertinent to putting on a ladies' conference. She said she did this for 7 years. 7 years. But you know what? When the children were older in their teens, and Brother Tenney left Foreign Missions and came to be the district superintendent of Louisiana, it was time for the first ladies' conference in the UPCI. And you know what? She did not have to scrounge around and go crazy and get anxious and getting frustrated about, oh, no, we got to put on a ladies' conference here in Louisiana. There was no frustration involved in it at all. Why? Because it was ready. She had spent 7 years getting ready for that first ladies' conference that was held in Louisiana. And of course, after that, you know, it mushroomed all over the United States and even overseas. Everybody loves to attend ladies' conferences. Might say here that y'all know we have one coming up in the first weekend of April. So if y'all can come, I know that you will really enjoy it. So I said all that to say that you may have a vision, a dream, a calling, but don't get discouraged if you don't do it tomorrow, because there may be a little period in here where you train a little bit for it. Vision can change your life dramatically, because a vision will give you specific directions, like he did Sister Tenney. You don't have to run around lost and confused. Your vision is kind of like your car's GPS. You put your vision in, and your life's going to be guided toward that. Vision will strengthen your dependence upon God. Proverbs 3 and 5 says to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Vision will encourage you to see your possibilities. One of all of our favorite scriptures, Philippians 4 and 13, says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Number four, a vision will promote a positive attitude about life. Proverbs 6, 16 and 3. Says to commit your ways unto the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. The fifth thing about vision is that it will challenge you to be stretched a little beyond what is comfortable for you. Isaiah 55 and 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Number six, a vision will fill you with a passion to pursue. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I love that scripture. I always say, since that's Philippians 3 and 13, that that's my birthday scripture. forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things that are before. We press on toward our vision. We press on toward our calling in Christ Jesus. So I'll go over that again. Vision can change your life dramatically because, one, vision will give you specific direction. Two, it will strengthen your dependence upon God. Because a lot of these visions, we know we can't do it alone. Number three, vision will encourage you to see your possibilities. Vision will promote a positive attitude about life. Vision will challenge you to be stretched beyond what you feel comfortable. Six, vision will fill you with passion to pursue. Also, I'd like to mention that age is not a factor. You never get too old to get a vision or to get a renewed vision. Did you know that Colonel Sanders established the Kentucky Fried Chicken chain when he was 65 years old? Did you know that Laurel Ingalls Wilder began writing the Little House on the Prairie series when she was 65? Grandma Moses, the American folk artist, began painting at 78. Rosemary Smith, a rally car racer in the 60s, she became the oldest person to drive a Formula One car in 2017 at the age of 79. Girls, can you imagine getting behind the wheel of a race car at 79 years of age? Sometimes I make myself nervous driving down the road regularly. Anyhow, 79. Smokey Dawson, he's known as Australia's first cowboy. He became the oldest person to compose, record, and release a new album at 92. Years of age. And Moore Keat, a World War II veteran, became the world's oldest bungee jumper in 2010 at the age of 96. I don't even think there's anybody in here that's 96 years old, but there's not too many of us that are into bungeeing, huh? 96 years old, bungeeing. Okay. Harriet Thompson, a cancer survivor, she ran her first marathon at the age of 76. And at the age of 91, she completed her 15th marathon. So I'm saying that in the physical sense, obviously, age is not a factor. Neither is it a factor in the spiritual sense. All of us are at the right age for a new vision or to renew the one that we have had. The Bible tells us to stir up the gift that is within you. Be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So whatever God has started in your life, he's able to help you finish it. The vision that he has given you many years ago, he's able to stay with you till it's all completed. 2 Timothy 1 and 6 says, therefore I remind you that you stir up the gift of God which is in you. Okay, he's telling us to stir it up. We've kind of got a real responsibility going on there. We're instructed to stir up the gift that God has placed within us. So our God-given gifts are necessary to fulfill God's vision in our lives. Don't give up on your vision. Isaiah 40 and 29 says, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. So what vision or dream lies dormant in your heart right now? Do you believe there is still life in that vision that is inside of you? I can tell you that there is still life in that vision that's inside you. What can you do to stir it up? See, your life vision is sacred. It's for you and you alone. And it is from God. Isn't that wonderful to know that God wants to invest in us, that we do have visions of what He desires that we accomplish in our life? Maybe you once jumped out there to pursue your vision, but some circumstance, problem, or person become a blockage between you and your vision. It's a lot of things that can come between you and your vision. Sometimes it's a problem. Sometimes it's a circumstance. Sometimes it can even be another person that tries to come between you and your vision. In the Bible, I know we all have favorite Bible characters, but I do believe that Joseph must be one of my very, very favorite. When this year started and we were talking about choosing a word for your year, and I told you that I had chosen perseverance as my word for this year. Joseph certainly had it. Joseph, he had some visions. That first, when he saw himself gathering grain in the field, and his were all standing up real straight, and his brothers were all bowing down to him. And then, of course, he had one where that even the sun and the moon and the 11 stars, how many brothers did he have? The 11 stars were bowing down to him. Well, Joseph was young. He wasn't too wise. And so he shared his visions with his brothers. And you know what? They weren't too excited about these visions that he was having. You may want to choose wisely who you share your visions and your dreams with, because a lot of people may not be as excited about them as you are. They may come up with all kinds of reasons why it won't work and why it's okay. So be careful, you know, who you share them with, because you don't want anybody to steal it from you. But see, Joseph, he wasn't real wise. He was young. And, of course, they were not excited at all about his dreams. So ultimately, his dreams did come true. But think about what happened in between the time he received the vision and the vision matured. He was sold into slavery. He was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. He was put in prison. And then while he was in prison, he tried to do good to the butler. And the butler got reinstated and forgot all about Joseph being there. But you know what? When the time was right, Joseph held on to his visions. And when the time was right, he became the second most powerful man in the Egyptian kingdom. And just think of all of the lives that Joseph saved from starvation, that famine that was coming. Just think of the thousands and thousands of lives that Joseph was able to save because he persevered and continued to think about his vision and work toward it, live toward his vision. He was able to do so much for so many other people. I am sorry, my voice is so bad tonight. Aren't y'all glad I'm not trying to sing? Anyhow, I wanted to talk about some action steps toward experiencing a renewed vision. Now, if you've had one and it's maybe become a little blurry, we're going to talk about some steps that you can take to kind of get it all renewed. And number one is eliminate negative input. Don't allow anyone to steal or bring confusion to your vision. Eliminate all the negative input. Don't tell your vision to someone that lives on the negative side of life, okay? Eliminate this negative input. Number two is reflect on who you are in God's sight. And that was the very first lesson about who you are and what a wonderful creation you are and how important that you are to God's plan. So reflect on who you are in God's sight. Define your God-given calling by asking yourself these questions. What is my passion? What inspires me? What are the desires of my heart? So, what is my passion? What inspires me? And what are the desires of my heart? Think back over the years, what you were really passionate about, what really inspired you to serve God, and what are those desires of your heart that may be lying a little dormant right now? Jeremiah 29 and 11 says that, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. I know that investments in the kingdom of God never depreciate or lose their value. Most everything we purchase in this life will lose its value. You know, just think the minute you drive that new car off the parking lot, all of a sudden, you know what has happened. You've already lost thousands of dollars. You know, everything depreciates. But the investments that you make in the kingdom of God, they do not lose their value. We so often hear the scripture quoted, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We love to quote that scripture. That God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. But you know what? There's a second part to that scripture. And it says, according to the power that works in us. So God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, but it is according to the power that works in us. It's kind of like this is a partnership. God can do awesome, amazing things, but he needs you. He needs somebody to partner with him, somebody that has the power working in them. So, in closing, I'll say, God can and he will do things that supersede our imagination. But he needs me and he needs you to participate in his plans and visions. Can we stand? We're going to pray. Pray for vision. We all have vision. God may tonight even want to illuminate to your spiritual eyes another vision. It may be an old one that needs to be renewed, or it may be a totally new one, okay? It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your status in life. God has a plan, has a vision for all of your lives. So let's pray that it will be renewed, rekindled, and if you don't have one, that you'll get one. Can we pray to that end right now? God, we thank you so much for vision. Thank you, God, for your desire to work through our lives. You want to use our talents. You want to use our abilities. God, I pray for renewed vision. Oh, God, those things that you have told us years ago, months ago, just days ago. God, I pray that our visions will be strengthened. They will be renewed. If there is not a vision, we pray for a vision. We want to partner with you, use our talents and our abilities for the furtherance of your kingdom. We thank you, God, that the investments we make in your kingdom are stored up in heaven. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to serve. We thank you for your calling. Thank you for being called. It is such a privilege to be called by your Spirit to serve. You are so good. Can we thank him tonight? Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, you are so good. I thank you that your mercy is everlasting. I thank you that your truth endures to all generations. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from whom all blessings flow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And thank all of you precious people for being here tonight. I know that God is going to make your life even greater than it is right now. I love y'all. The pastor wants to add to it.
No, not this. I want to tell you something that was really phenomenal with your sister, Griffith. Went out to the visit with her a few days ago, and the visitation and being in there with Sister Mildred, went down to where Sister Bernice is, and as I was leaving, the head nurse called me over to the side, said, "I want to tell you something," and said, "I want to tell you about Bernice." Said, "A man came out of his room totally naked and came out there where all the ladies were and said," Bernice went, and she said, "You know, Pastor, all those others just kept looking." And she said, "I knew that she had something in her that was so," I couldn't help but weep a little with her, to think that while she's going through weakness, there was a strength that rose up in that setting. And I just wanted you to know, the brothers and sisters, that God has still got a vision for all of us. Have a great evening. And, well, she's my wife and everything, but I think we owe her a hand tonight. This was great. Awesome. I'm already nervous about next Wednesday. Have a great night. Thank you. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.